I was looking at Luke 18 from last Sunday's Rhema, and it was where Jesus described where we are to be as infants. And that's we learned is with our with no intellect of our own. But I also realized in these verses that Jesus was also changing the judgment and the intellect of the disciples at the same time. We learn this, but he was also doing it at the same time, if that
Amen.
makes sense. But when we go over it, you'll see what I mean. So that's in Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. And it says, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer, and that word suffer means send forth. So it's send forth little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So these were the verses, as I just said, that we received that showed us that we are to be as infants with no intellect and no judgment of our own. But also, what I want to point out is verse 15 that says, when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. When I was reading this, I thought it strange because I'm like, these are his disciples. Why were they rebuking infants being brought? Why weren't they in the same mindset? And by what we've learned, we now know that in this moment, they were in their own intellect and in their own judgment when they saw the infants being brought. That's where they were. But Jesus was so smooth
Yes, he is.
in changing their intellect. This is all he did. He replies, "Send forth little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." With the words that Jesus spoke, two things took place here. He affected the minds of the disciples agreeably to the situation. And at the same time, he continued in the flow of the ministry unto the infants. The disciples were thinking one way. But his words that he spoke
Yes, Jesus.
directed them right into his mindset. He, in one motion, how I saw it, he, in one motion, kept the beat of the drum. Their minds were affected, but at the same time, he stayed in the flow of ministry. And the infants were brought unto him, and he touched them. And it made me realize to a greater degree that this is what Rhema is designed to do for us,
Yes.
to change our thinking. Simple as
Oh.
that. It's like we've been learning this all this time, but I was just like, I just was like, whoa. It's like the purpose of us being in the Rhema word is for our minds to be affected agreeably.
Yes.
For our intellect to be changed to his intellect. It's for our judgment to be changed into his judgment. And the more and more that we are in the Rhema word, the more our minds are going to be affected agreeably.
Amen.
And that's the first fragment that I have. I'll open it up right there if anyone would like to share or comment or
I'll just say something real fast to that. That's such a powerful thing. Mom, Elder Dawn, and I were on the line talking today, and Elder Donna was saying how we have such a high call, especially because we're under Rhema, the way we are, the way we hear, because this is what God is going to remember. In the beginning, the Lord told even God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And in the New Testament, it said another way. It said, go and make disciples. It's the same thing, but it's us actually, because we're affected to the point of our minds being in agreement, or the very image of God is really what's on our heart. It's his image, it's his likeness, it's who he is that's come on our hearts. That the scripture in John 15, verse number 28 says, and you will bear witness. First, the Holy Spirit bears witness, testifies of Jesus, the Rhema in us. Then
Amen.
we bear him witness, and then we're doing exactly what we were called to do, which is to go out. When we bear witness, we're going to be doing hope, but by the grace of God, to them what the Spirit of God has been doing in us.
Amen.
So it's exactly what you're saying. The reason we stay in the study is that we could be affected agreeably, and then we can go out. We're sent out to multiply, to be fruitful and multiply where others are affected agreeably by the very word. So, Elder, that is really powerful, and
Amen.
it's right on point, and it's amen.
Oh, that's God.
I personally like that because and amen to that, really. But I personally like it because of this right here. You see, the mission of the Lord is to continue to saturate the minds of his disciples in his own mindset. And he's so cool with it. He doesn't break, his stride at all. Even when they're not there, they're rebuking someone that is in his mindset. But his mission toward them was to get them to understand him and to know him and to be in his mindset. I think that is so dynamic. And that proves to me how cool, how dynamic, how awesome Jesus is, and how awesome he was in training them to really grasping his mindset, to being affected in the mind agreeably. It was really awesome, man.
Well
That's a
said.
really good study right there.
Amen. Amen.
Well said, well said.
So, is anyone else have anything else to say concerning that particular fragment? Because this
At
is
least one
tonight
part.
is, who's that?
Minister Joshua.
I thought that was Joshua. Go ahead, Jay, say what you got
because
to say.
it kind of goes hand in hand. And see, Evangelist Daryl started this from Sunday, and I was just taking a sneaky peek in Luke 24:45, and it kind of coincides with what Elder Allison is teaching with. In that scripture, he said, then he opened their understanding.
Don't do that,
Which, and
Jay.
if
Don't do
you
that.
and
Oh
if
boy.
you open up understanding, it talks about the mind, the divine will,
That's good.
the intellect. You know, and it's talking about how we're being basically influenced by what he's. That's
Ah,
all
boss.
I'm gonna say.
Man,
That's
that's
all I'm gonna
good.
say.
That's good. No, that's good. That is
Amen.
good.
Amen.
That's
Yes.
really, really good. And it does flow perfectly with that. Because that's what he did on both levels to the people that were looking for him and the disciples that were rebuking them. He opened up his the understanding to them in such ease.
Yeah.
Man, it makes me say this. Jesus is Lord. Period. Yes, he is Lord. And he knew exactly how to handle that.
Yeah, he did.
Man, that's good, Jay. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it gets deeper because when I was reading that scripture, I got led over to Job 33 and 16, where he was saying that that scripture reads that God opened the ears of man and sealeth their instruction.
Mm.
And that word open denotes exile. So when I started thinking about it, I said, well, when something is exiled, it's banned from its native country or place of origin.
Mm.
So what I got from that was basically God is exiling us from our old intellect.
Come on, Jay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Now when it says seal it, that part where it says seal it their instruction, it actually means to put an end to something. When you seal something, you put an end to it. Mm-hmm. And when I looked up instruction, it actually meant discipline. So he's putting an end to our discipline or our correction by permanently banning us from our old intellect.
Amen.
That's good, Jay. And we all know that discipline means discipleship, right?
Yeah.
So Amen. The way that we were being discipled by the enemy is there's an end coming to it.
Mm.
If there's an end coming to that discipline, at the root, we're no longer going to be discipled in that nature any longer. That is really good.
Awesome.
Amen. God.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
The obscure society we're initiated into.
Yes. And I had looked up that word obscure, and it one of the meanings was unknown.
Mm-hmm.
That's how secret it is. It's unknown.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, that's nice. That's Amen. Good.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's good.
Amen.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Bless God.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, but the way that he was smooth as butter like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's they're sitting there in an error.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there saying, okay, let me teach both sides of the fence at the same time. And it was so easy for him.
Yeah.
If you're in a place where you are making God more important than anything, you can see easily into that, how dynamic he is,
mm-hmm.
how powerful he is, all knowing he is. You're teaching, no, he's the dude is teaching the spirit of error with his disciples, and the spirit of, I would have to say, righteousness and faith in those that are coming at him. And he teaches them both without batting an eye.
Yeah.
Amen.
With great ease.
Amen.
That is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're able to view him in the fullness of who he is, you can really appreciate that.
Yes.
What comes to mind to me is this. There's no difference between darkness and light with him. The disciples were in darkness, and the people that were coming to him were in the light.
That's true.
But he tells us there's no difference. I'll teach you either way. It'll be the same thing for me. I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
Whether you be in darkness or light, you're going to see. That is phenomenal.
Amen.
I think it boils down to this, and I'm going to be done with this. I think it boils down. if you have a place where he matters, and knowing who he is really is important to you, it doesn't matter if he teaches you through darkness or through the light.
Amen.
It boils down to, it boils down to honor. Do you, is he weighty? Does he matter to you? That's good. All right, I'm done. Go ahead, Elder Allison, with your second fragment.
Elder Allison,
yeah.
Could you just say one more time what the word suffer means again?
Yes, yeah, suffered is send forth.
Send forth. Okay. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, the second fragment I have is much like the first one, where we see we're going to see that minds are affected agreeably, and Jesus doesn't miss a beat. He stays in the same flow. And it's actually at the end of, it's actually in the same chapter, Luke 18, but it's at the end of the chapter. And it's verse 35 through 43. And it says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before him, and they which went before, rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. I love this.
Me too.
He cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So we see here the same type of rebuking taking place. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith have saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We see this count is similar to the first, because we see the same intellect and judgment from those who went before Jesus. They rebuked the blind man to hold his peace. These individuals, because of their own intellect, don't even see or understand that there is potential for manifestation here. But they would soon come into their mind being affected agreeably by what they were about to see. The blind man, when he heard that commotion was about Jesus of Nazareth coming, in spite of him being told to keep his peace, he gets even louder. And what I saw here was that his mind was affected so agreeably to who he knew Jesus to be. Just like Apostle shared at the beginning, he said how he perceived him. He didn't even care not one bit when people were telling him to be quiet. He was affected in his mind to who he knew Jesus to be for himself. And as we saw, Jesus, having heard this man crying out loudly, thou son of David, have mercy on me, as the man brought to him, and then goes on to ask him, what is it that he should do unto him? He replies, that I may receive my sight. When I was reading this, I was like, this man is already affected in his mind to who Jesus is. And I knew when reading it, just by how his mind was affected, I knew that healing was already there. And you see that?
Hallelujah.
Because of how his mind was affected to who he knew Jesus to be, healing was already there. All Jesus had to say, he says, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We then see the man immediately receives his sight. He follows Jesus and glorifies God. But then we also see mentioned, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That all included the very ones in the beginning that rebuked this blind man. They saw what took place, and by it, their minds too were affected agreeably.
Yes.
So I just love the smoothness there. Just by his words, everyone's affected agreeably.
That also, hallelujah.
The rhema word, TGM, is to affect our mind agreeably. That is my second fragment for you.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's God.
That's so good.
Beautiful. Bless his name.
Last night, I was just on what you just shared, Elder Alice Lee. I was being attacked heavily with a cough. Jesus, I love you, Lord. And I believe that there's an attachment to things that happened to us, like a sickness, that the rhema word is really being challenged by when we fall into sicknesses and other things, because we've been so it's like what the scripture said in Psalm 103 verse 14, he knoweth our frame, he knoweth our imagination. So when we were taught from the day we were born in sin and things happened to us, it was teaching our souls to surrender, in a sense, to like sicknesses and other things that happen, lack of money, all kinds of things. But because the axe is so laid at the root, we become like this man who shouts louder in the midst of a rebuke, in a Thank sense. You. In our the it's in the reverse, where our souls begin to rebuke or want to rebuke, or the I'll say even more so, the flesh wants to rebuke what the word says, if you will. Our knowledge of the word, our understanding of the word. But because the axe is so laid at the root, the shout gets louder in our faith, because what was happening to me last night, I was seeing more of me being healed. I was seeing more of what Christ had done for me and who I am, what I have authority to speak, more than the sickness. I mean, the cough was bad. It was even constricting my chest. But the my faith was louder.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It was yes. I mean, right now I should, if the sickness was having its way, I would be coughing throughout and I would have you on mute. I wouldn't even be able to talk right now, as bad as it was. But because my faith was louder.
Hallelujah.
The cough, it's been silenced.
The intellect of God becoming a babe silences even what we became familiar with
Yes.
as we were growing, as we were being taught more in the on the ways of the world.
Yep.
And this is what God is doing in us. He's affecting our minds agreeably to even the point that things that would normally be dominant, that are of this world, are being silenced by the kingdom of God,
Yes.
by the rhema word. And so this is really, really, I can relate to this even in that. It's so powerful, Elder Allie.
Amen. Amen.
That, no, that, that, that really, Daryl, that was really well said, man. And Elder Allison, that was really well taught. It is the absolute truth. Let me tell you something. All right. And it's just a little Easter egg for Sunday. Be ready to get this, because oftentimes we only look at the mountains that are in front of us, but we don't know the mountain that is before the mountains. What stops manifestation? What is stopping Jesus from being the Jesus that he is, that when those people said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Why did they receive in the moment they were able to describe him in the person of who he is? And why is it sometimes in our day do we not receive the power, the anointing that removes burdens, destroys yokes? Why are we still in the deficit after we cry out? Those people saw him for who he was. Like Evangelist is saying right now, there is another dimension of knowing Jesus. I don't know that the body is really ready to really come into the view of it, but I'm a witness of it, and it's true. And it has everything to do with the axe being laid at the roof. There is a mountain in front of our mountains, people of God. We've got to realize that there's something stopping manifestation.
Jesus.
And what we've been taught in Christendom as Christians, man, it doesn't even begin to score out who Jesus really is. It does not. Because everybody prior to our time, our dispensation, was led to understand forsaking everything to follow him is the prerequisite of receiving him.
Jesus.
And we're so far behind because we're trying to hold on to this world, hold on to this life, hold on to substances, hold on to everything around us, and not letting go to really be able to see him in all of his glory.
Yes, yes.
We're behind, people. And I'm going to teach it. If I'm standing by myself at the end of this, I'm good with it. The Spirit of God told me something today. He said, the reason why, after all of the rhemas, you expected to receive and see 100-fold, because that's how deep it was and how I believed. God said, if I gave you 100-fold, when I first started to speak rhema to you, you would have never known me like I'm trying to cause you to know me now.
Come on, come on. Yeah.
He said, I did not release unto you instantaneous miracles, instantaneous results, because that was not the fullness of what I want you to know about me.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God has held his hand back from delivering and healing and sanctifying and blessing and multiplying and giving us a harvest that we so desired. God did this. Why? For the one reason, so that we would know him.
Glory to his name.
And that's we're about to know him in ways we've never known before. And I'm good with that.
Me too.
Because every rhema that I've gotten, I thought it was a cure-all. From propitiation, from Mark 4, every rhema, I thought it was a cure-all. And I thought this was going to be the mecca of how we're going to see the manifestation of God. But I'll tell you right now, the manifestation of God is coming to those that are willing to really walk away from this world
Hallelujah.
And all of the substance of this world so that we might know him. He is our portion.
Jesus.
Yes, God.
He is our portion. All right, I went 3 minutes over. I'm sorry. We're 3 minutes past expanded dominion, but my God, I'm not playing about this. I had an experience. I can't wait to describe it to those that are on the line on Sunday. I had an experience that was out of this world. I have an understanding that is totally, to me, out of this world. And so I'm excited to share with you guys. Elder Allison, I'm so grateful for you sharing the fragments that you did. Evangelist yes. Daryl, Elder Donna, Joshua, man, Minister Joshua, thank you guys for being a part of it tonight, because this is what More Group is all about.
Amen.
To him that Amen. Has shall more be given.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless God.
Man, that was good.
So Jesus. Good.
Wow. Until Sunday, everybody. Okay?